Good morning, brothers and sisters. If you are happy in the house of the Lord, can you say this word, I am blessed because you are sitting beside me today. And if you can still speak Tagalog, I want you to tap the shoulders in front of you and say, ang lakas-lakas pa rin ng power mo sa umagang ito. Amen. It is a delight to be with you once again here at Charisma this Palm Sunday. And before we read our text, I want to take this precious moment to thank Dr. Fred Mendoza, the pastoral staff and the members of the Charisma for adopting me as a missionary at the Asia Pacific Theological Seminary po. Thank you very, very much. And I want, before we read the text, I want to sing a song, and I hope that this song will bless you today. The title of this song is There is a River. My mother just recently died, and it was only the presence of God who enabled us to survive from these breaking moments. And so I want to encourage each one of us that if you have problems, if you have facing some struggles, I want you to run to the presence of God because His presence is a heaven to us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you.
There is a river, and it flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. A vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry, and there was a thirsty woman. She was drawing from the well. See, her life was ruined and wasted, and her soul was bound for hell. But then she met the Master, and He told her her sin, and He said, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. Oh, there is a river, and it flows from deep within. there is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. If you have your Bible, will you please open in the book of John chapter 12, verses 12 up to 19. Today we are celebrating a Palm Sunday. So today I want to speak to you about confessing Jesus in the public square. John chapter 12, verses 12 up to 19. It says here, "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and it sat on it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.' At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.'" God, we thank you because you have planted this church to represent your kingdom in this city. This church is like a river of life for us, O God, where we can drink your presence, O God. And so today I want to pray, O God, your blessing of your word, inspire us and encourage us, and give me, O God, the ability to communicate your word clearly so that your people, O God, will be empowered. Thank you, Jesus. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise, brothers and sisters. Let me start this message by telling you one story about a man who was walking in a village and he saw that Crispin's house was full of people. And so he asked the people, "Why Crispin's house is so full of people?" And so the man said, "Well, the donkey of Crispin kicked his mother-in-law and she died. And so why there are lots of people?" he asked. And so perhaps, he said, this might be her friends. And the man said, "No. Everyone wanted to buy the donkey of Crispin." The story of this passage is about the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, you look at how a great crowd of people were attracted to Jesus. So the question that I want to ask this morning is, what was the gravitational attraction of Jesus to the crowd? What was the appeal of Jesus to the crowd? Why they welcome him, they met him and they worship him. What lesson we can learn from the riding, from Jesus riding in the donkey? And what does it mean by following Jesus in the public square? Observing this passage, brothers and sisters, I can see that Jesus is the centrality of this passage. I can see three important lessons that we can learn from this passage. The first one, brothers and sisters, is that they followed him, they welcome him, and they worship him because Jesus is more desirable than the religious rituals. For the Jews, there were three mandatory feasts that they were celebrating every year: the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacle. And so each year, these Jewish people go up to Jerusalem to celebrate all these feasts. But it was also this time that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Some scholars said that it was the month of Nisan, or April 6 to be exact. Jesus entered Jerusalem riding in a donkey. And here you can see the shift of attraction, or the shift of interest, from observing all these feasts that they have. When they heard that Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, now this crowd want to meet Jesus. Now, what was the appeal? What was the appeal why they want to meet, they want to welcome, and they want to worship Jesus? There are three reasons why, brothers and sisters, why Jesus was so attracted to the crowds. The first one is that Jesus identified himself to the masses. Jesus was more appealing and desirable than their religion during the time because Jesus identified himself to the masses. John chapter 1 verse 14 said that when he became a human being, he incarnated himself. He dressed himself like those people around him. He spoke their language. He ate with them. He played with them, perhaps. So here, Jesus' presence, there was a clash of their old religion and the new religion that Jesus is communicating to the masses. The second reason was Jesus sympathizes with their humanity. In Luke chapter 7, verse 34 says that the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and drunkard, friend of tax collectors and sinners. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion with them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus here does not only understand or identified himself to the masses, but he sympathizes with our humanity. He understands our limitations and shortcomings. And when he saw the crowd, brothers, since he had compassion with them. The best thing that I observe in the book of John is that Jesus was more desirable, more attractive than the religion of the crowd, because when Jesus came, he was answering their deepest needs. He was answering their deepest needs. In the book of John, there were seven miracles mentioned in the book of John. And these seven miracles are confronted with a problem. Like, for instance, in the wedding of Cana, there was a problem of the lack of resources, but God has provided the limitation of resources. The healing of the nobleman's son, there was a problem of time. The nobleman's son needed the immediate healing of his son. And when Jesus has spoken his word, he overruled the time and space. When Jesus has spoken that word, your son has been healed, immediately his son has been healed. In John chapter 6, there was a problem of food, but Jesus provided food for the masses. In John chapter 9, there was a problem of no sight. Jesus healed the blind man. And of course, in John chapter 11, there was no life. Death of Lazarus. And here Jesus has demonstrated that he is the resurrection in the life. Amen? Jesus was answering their deepest need. And so John chapter 6 verse 2 says that and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. For us Pentecostals, according to scholars, we have now a number of 800 million Pentecostals all over the world. And the very attraction of Pentecostals is because Pentecostals are answering the deepest need of humanity. And so even those heathen people, they are being attracted to the testimonies of Pentecostals. Pastor Skip Hestig, in his comparative study about Jesus and Jewish religion of that day, pointed out that Jewish religion emphasized the outward, but Jesus emphasized the inward. Jewish religion emphasized what you cannot do. They are always saying, you cannot do this, and do that. But Jesus is about what you can do. Religion puts up barriers, but Jesus pulls down barriers. Religion typically says you have to work your way to God, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Religion says you must, but Jesus said, I have done it for you. So let me ask you a question today, brothers and sisters. If I will give you, if I will give you an iPhone 10 today, and this is an iPhone 10, and a telephone, a 1982 telephone, what do you want to choose? Huh? I'm sure that you abandon that 1982 telephone. You want iPhone 10. Who has an iPhone 10 here? This is, Jesus is like iPhone 10. During the time, the religion has been boring because religion has been used to exploit, to tax, and to oppress the people of Israel. And so when Jesus came and has demonstrated that love for humanity, and he answered their needs, their deepest needs, the chief of attraction shifted from their old religion to Jesus Christ. Jesus is worthy to be praised and to be proclaimed because Jesus answers our deepest needs. He knows you by name. He knows your limitations. He knows your shortcomings. And when you call upon him, he will answer you because he said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you have not known. The second reason why people were attracted to Jesus is that they discovered that Jesus is more reliable and trustworthy than the political and religious leaders at that time. The coming of Jesus, now what does it mean? You know, the most compliant picture of this story is when Jesus rode in a donkey. I don't like to use the word ass. There are two words of donkey here. Donkey and ass. And I think for the Americans, if I use the word ass, it has also a negative connotations to... So never mind about the word ass. But what is the meaning when Jesus rode in a donkey? Here are some observations, brothers and sisters. The coming of Jesus in his triumphal entry, riding in a donkey, is actually a direct contrast to the political and religious leaders who exercised authority at that time. As a matter of fact, the coming of Jesus in his incarnation is a direct confrontation of the leadership model of those people during that time. Can you imagine? They use authority and power to exploit, to tax, to corrupt those people. But Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he was born in a manger. He was born as he incarnated himself and identified himself to those marginalized people in the society. Before I continue, there was a story about three Christians who were talking about the gravity of graft and corruptions in their respective countries. And this Japanese said, My God, graft and corruption in Japan is so terrible. We do it under the table. And the Chinese said, it's more worse in China, because in China, we do it over the table. And then they asked this Filipino, how about in the Philippines? And the Filipino said, we take even the table. During the time of Jesus, the Roman Empire has established a two-tiered system of government that controlled Palestine in the name of Rome. The political puppets of Rome, represented by Herod and Pontius Pilate, these leaders are ruthless and cruel leaders who were responsible for the killing of many Jewish people, including John the Baptist and, of course, finally, Jesus. We have also the religious leaders of the Jews, represented by the Sadducees, scribes, and Pharisees, who were taxing the people in the name of religion. So the coming of Jesus riding in a donkey is a direct contrast to the leadership of the political leaders at the time. Let me deepen the explanation. It also shows his identity as a Messiah who is slowly, gentle, and peaceful. In ancient time, king rode donkeys in times of peace, but when they wage war, they ride horses. So the first coming of Jesus, he rode in a donkey, but when Jesus will come and wage war against Satan and the Antichrist, he will be riding a white horse to defeat his enemies. So here, Jesus riding in a donkey because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is offering peace with his own people who were created after his image and likeness. Another reason Jesus riding in a donkey shows the reliability of the prophecy of the scriptures. 600 years ago, Zechariah prophesied that when the Messiah will come, he will be riding in a donkey. So you, Zion, must rejoice. You, Zion, rejoice because your king is coming riding in a donkey. And this was the exact fulfillment of that prophecy. It shows us that the scripture is reliable than the opinions of human being. Amen. I like Jesus. I love Jesus because he did not come to exploit us. He did not come to overrule us, but he came, he identified himself to the masses. He loved us. He came to rescue us from sin. The number three reason why Jesus was more attractive and appealing to the crowd is that following Jesus is more important than expecting. If you look at this passage, if we compare John to a cameraman, I think we have a cameraman there. First, John, as a smart cameraman, showed first the crowd the crowd who are following Jesus. And if you look at 16, 17, 18, and 19, then he focused his camera to these four groups of people in that crowd. And who are these four people, brothers and sisters? The first group of people who are following Jesus are his disciples who followed him even if they did not understand everything that Jesus said. They obeyed him and followed him. So even if his disciples, they do not understand what Jesus was saying to them, they followed him. Except, of course, for Judas Iscariot. And then we have also the eyewitnesses of Lazarus' resurrections who followed him and bore witness of what he has done in the life of Lazarus. They saw the resurrection, they saw the resurrecting power of Jesus in the life of Lazarus. And when they saw this, the resurrection of Lazarus, then they followed Jesus. They bore witness of what Jesus has done in the life of Lazarus. Then we have also people who heard the news from those people who testified. And so they came and they want also to meet Jesus face to face. Now, this is a good thing when we are sharing our experiences. When we are sharing our healings, our salvations, how the Lord has answered our prayers. When we share like that, I can describe it like it is just like you are giving an ice cream to someone. You know, so keep on sharing the word of God so that people can taste the goodness of God in their lives. And of course, the number four group of people who were following Jesus are the religious leaders who have chosen to reject Jesus' claim and continued to seek to destroy Jesus. What I observe from this passage, brothers and sisters, is that the first two groups came to believe Jesus and became his followers. They were the followers who have been with Jesus that religious leaders tried to silence but could not stop them because they have been affected by the love and power of Jesus. Well, of course, as Pastor Fred said in our chat, the question and answer, part of the groups here were the one who shouted that Jesus Christ must be crucified. But the first two groups, I believe, are the people who follow Jesus because they have been affected by the love and the power of Jesus. This has been my 19th participation in an international conference. And I love following Jesus even in the academic sectors. Whenever I go to university, I know that there are struggles. One time that I was in London Metropolitan University, I was debating with the theologians of LGBT and the atheists and the Muslims. I know that there are some dangers of what I'm doing when I participate in international conferences. Some of my professors said, are you not being influenced by by what they are saying also when you are participating? But some trust what I'm doing, that even if I go to these secular conferences, I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I love Jesus. And whenever I go to these universities, I represent his name. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And I know I can tell you some stories how I dialogue with those atheist people who are seeking faith, who are Buddhists, who are very interested to know about Jesus. And personally, I like sharing Jesus Christ to the crowd. If I just can show you what we are doing in Baguio City, Every year we have 2 to 2.5 people coming to Baguio City because of the festival, just like this. We have also a flower festival. So there are 2 to 2.5 people coming to Baguio City just to see these flower festivals. And so 10 years ago, we organized our church to join the festival by sharing the love of Jesus. And so every year we are making a panagbing afloat to proclaim Jesus in our city. So if you can see some television, you can see that we are the only religious organizations who are joining the panagbing afloat, proclaiming the name of Jesus. We are also proclaiming Jesus to the inmates and to the poorest people in the village. Now, following Jesus is more important than inspecting. These people, these religious leaders, they are following Jesus because they want to destroy the testimony of Jesus. But those who have been affected, those who have been influenced by his love, they followed and obeyed him. I pray today, brothers and sisters, that Jesus will become more desirable to you. I pray today that you will discover that Jesus is more reliable than any religious and political leaders in our day. And I hope that this will deepen our commitment to follow Jesus whatever the cost. So let me ask you this important question again. What do you choose if you are given a 1982 telephone and an iPhone 10? Jesus is like an iPhone 10 because he answers our deepest needs. May the Lord bless you. God bless you, brothers and sisters. And may I request Pastor Fred to please come.